Oh, I never. How's your hand doing? Still bad?
Ebbs and flows. Still kind of bad.
Ugh. That's pretty bad.
Mine cleared up
and has never come back.
Really?
There's a little, like you can see a little bit there, but
mine cleared
up. But never
up,
got real bad again.
Mine cleared up about a month ago and it was great. And then it was good for a couple months and then it just seems to come back every now and then. I don't know.
Have you been to a doctor, checked it out or no?
You know, there's supposed to be some new treatment.
He's never been to a doctor for it.
But I have gone to a doctor and they were like, oh, we don't know what it is.
Really?
Yeah, they gave me some like topical steroid ointment, which helped a little bit in helping it heal.
Mm-hmm.
But in terms of what it was, they were like, we don't know. Uh-huh. And it's the same thing. It's in the same place.
Yeah, and I can't imagine.
Was your stress related?
Do you play guitar?
No.
So it's not guitar. Because I thought, well, maybe it's my guitar. Maybe
I can't imagine the 12-hour show you did and then.
Well, I thought, well, maybe it's. But it is aggravated from playing guitar because, you know, obviously it gets dried out and then it gets kind of beat up from the guitar. But, well, it's not that. It's something. It'd be interesting.
His is always stress related.
And maybe it's stress. Because
I have a lot of stress.
I've been less. I'm pretty happy.
Hmm.
Sort of, I think.
Yeah. Do you drink?
No.
No, you don't at all?
Not for long. Not for 20 years.
20 years? Yeah. Because he he's really like leaning into it right now.
That's not true at all. Who told you this?
That has something to do with
who
it.
Who told you this?
No, it's got nothing to do with it because I haven't had a drink in forever. So.
Okay.
Who the hell? I am not leaning into drinking. Is that what you just said?
You're really trying to embrace this like addiction, whichever one you can find.
Wait a minute. Which album is Mudhouse on? Come on, help me. I'm good now.
Mudhouse is on The Californian, maybe? If it's on an album, it's on The California.
Yes.
Or the live show.
I'm Chick McGee, and we're off the air.
Let's do this.
There he is.
In the back of the Beamer. Now mama was something known that you understand what you can't be front of when it comes to this. But down your back cheeks, give me a kiss. I got a castle in the Paris, got a crib in the city.
You know who this is,
get you something nice, something pretty, and I did. And you liked it like
thanks
that.
For downloading so the podcast.
Be so fast because we up in the mud house, over in the club, getting crumbling.
Hi, Jess. You know how I'm doing this? I'm turning the volume up on my phone.
On your phone,
yeah. Hi, Bob.
Hi.
Here we go. Damn fine song. I don't care. Thanks for downloading the Off the Air podcast, and our guest today, a return engagement for one of, if not our absolute favorite guest, it's Bob Schneider from Austin, Texas. Hello there, Bob.
Hi. I'm jamming to my own song. What's up?
You ever throw this in?
I never listen to anything that I recorded in the studio, ever.
Yeah.
So it's cool to hear it.
You mean after you've recorded it, you don't listen to it in the car? Or?
I only listen to stuff that I just wrote. Like, so if I'm listening to anything, it'll be whatever I wrote this week, and I'm just trying to learn it or figure out if it's good. But then anything I go into a studio, like that, we went into a studio, we recorded it for a week or two and mixed it, and you spend a lot of time with it. I never, ever put that stuff on and listen to it.
Huh. Well, that's interesting.
So you never do it live?
No, I do.
Well, you did Mudhouse live last year when you were at the Rathskeller.
Yeah, I do that live if people request it. But if it was up to me, I probably wouldn't play that song. But listening to it now, I'm like, man, that song's great.
Yeah, that's a great song.
That's a good song. So are you aware, too, on the internet it's got another life now?
The
Soul Train Dancers or something in it, and it's great.
I've seen that. Yeah, that's really cool.
Really?
Yeah, they mixed it behind the Soul Train Dancers, and it's synced up perfectly, and they're just everybody's having a good time. I don't like to listen to things after I've recorded them either.
That's not true. How many times have you listened to his last podcast?
Well, yeah, but I just happened to be there. I mean,
oh, okay.
I'm listening to what Bob's saying.
I mean, my name's just on the podcast, but I don't like to listen to it.
No, I didn't mean it like that. I just, you know what I'm trying to say. I decided I listened to the podcast we did last year. It was almost a year to the day that we're doing this one. I decided.
You decided because you're the leader.
I'm the leader. Mm-hmm. You know I'm not the leader, don't you, Bob? I mean, it's not really me that's the leader. You know, she's the leader. Anyway, my point is we didn't let you play enough songs last time is what I kind of decided.
Oh, well, I'll play more songs this time.
So does it seem like you've got more dates this time? Because you were in Bloomington, you were in Illinois last night, and Chicago, Bloomington, Indianapolis, Nashville, Louisville. I just didn't pay attention.
Normally, I don't play small towns, especially with the band, because it's just I lose money every day that I play
these
smaller markets. But so this is definitely the longest tour that I've done in probably a year or two, and it's like I think 12 or 13 shows.
Mm-hmm.
So I try to keep them down to 10 days. And usually I try to do the West Coast, the Midwest, and the East Coast in 10-day chunks and just hit all the major cities. But on this one, we're playing a lot of smaller markets. And
How'd the Bloomington, Illinois show go?
Great.
Yeah.
Played at this place called The Castle. It was a really cool theater. And
all right.
And, you know, we had some people show up, and it was great. It was fun.
Of course you had people show up.
Well, you just never know. I mean, that's a tiny, tiny town, and I'm always shocked when people, you know, come out of the woodwork to see it. Because you just don't know, you know, when you get out of the major cities who's going to show up.
Are you touring with anyone right now? I mean, other than your band.
No, I mean, there's
no
a there is an opener. Oh. Dawn and Hawks,
okay,
from Austin, are opening. They're a real talented duo.
E-K-E-S, Hawks, right?
H-A-W-K-E-S, yeah.
Okay.
Hmm. They're a couple.
I just remember the show we went to, wherever that was, when
the Music Mill.
One Eskimo opened for you.
Oh, yeah, One Eskimo.
One Eskimo.
I love those guys.
And we looked at each other and go, man, this is a great fucking song. What is this?
Yeah,
and it
then,
turned
like,
out to be Candy or whatever.
8 weeks later, yeah, that Candy song just broke
She
open.
Called me baby all night long.
Yeah, yeah. Those guys were so funny.
You told us, this is terrible, but the little part that I listened to of our last podcast is when they told you about, it was something docking.
Space docking.
Space docking.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
Oh, the two wieners meeting in the middle, right?
No.
Space docking's when you're like,
is that that's worse?
I'm not sure what
you
that's
like
called.
Poop into a condom and then
put it in the freezer.
Put it in the freezer. It's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
That is ridiculous.
It is, but it's funny.
For
those
what
guys
purpose,
were
though?
Insane.
I feel like I've said all this before.
No. And then we saw him at the Music Mill that one time, and there was one guy open for you. I don't want to say little guy because he seemed like a little guy. He was a solo artist on guitar. Matt.
The time before that.
Say Matt or Mike or...
I don't know.
I just remember the One Eskimo.
All right. Mm-hmm. That's a horrible story. I don't know why I brought it up.
That's okay.
Because it's
I never go see the opening band play, ever. Even...
Do you feel bad?
Well, because it's a lose-lose situation for me, because if they're great...
Mm-hmm.
It just really messes with my head. Like the whole time I'm just like, I suck. And that opener was way better than I am. And I'll never be any good. And it just plagues me the whole show. And then if they suck, which I kind of hope they do, then I'm like, well, why am I wasting my time watching them? So,
you know
right.
I just never
so
do
So do you
it.
Go by recommendation? Like somebody said, hey, they'd be a good opener. And you go, okay.
Well, I'll check them out like on YouTube or listen to their music and stuff like that. I don't really spend a lot of time doing that. I'll listen to 30 seconds of something.
That's
fun.
Fine. Yeah.
We continue to be twin sons of different mothers.
You got to stop saying this.
The last time I talked to you, I was going to come up to you and say how I like your music, and your initial reaction is to talk me out of it because...
there is that, and I've tried. My thing now is to try to just say thank you and be grateful, and not do that thing, you know, to like accept it.
Right.
But yeah, because I know me and I know how good I am, and I know all my faults and all my shortcomings. And but I think when you get older, you realize, well, everybody's got that,
mm-hmm.
and even like the greatest guys who are songwriters or whatever, in whatever they do, they don't necessarily show all those things, you know, that they're not good at. And so I can be, you know, I can be sort of okay and accept a compliment, I guess. Yeah.
That's hard to learn. I'm to getting practice, better. Like yeah. to say thank you.
Yeah, yeah, it is. But, yeah. you know.
But you said you don't like to watch the warm-up act. When I miss the Bob and Tom show, if I'm sick or on vacation, I never listen. Because if I listen and they're funny
oh, right.
without me,
you're right.
Well, fuck those guys. And then if they're not funny, right. I go, oh, shit, I'm letting them down. Jesus, I got to get back in there. So
just, yeah, right. It's a lose-lose.
It's a lose-lose. Yeah, yeah, yeah. 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 That's my whole life. I'm just not, I'm going to stop participating, I think, and keep drinking hard like I have been.
I didn't.
Do you really think you're believing what Tom's saying?
No, I'm believing what I'm like.
You're seeing?
Yeah, I see, or I text you, and I'm like your texts are very obvious when you've had a okay. couple of.
No, I think they're obvious to you if I'm drunk or not when you text me.
Probably. They're probably, yeah, I'm guessing. I don't know. I guess they're not.
We'll get to Bob in a minute. My point is.
No, I'm just saying that's one of the things that's changed. It's summertime. People drink in the summertime.
No, I found that I've got two dogs now. Bob, you have any dogs, Bob?
I do. I have a dog.
What kind of dog is it?
It's a brindle cur. It's like a herding dog. Might be like a Catahoula. Pretty close to purebred Catahoula.
See,
brindle cur.
I'm going to look that up. You saying Catahoula, I think you're making up words.
Well, that's what the vet told me. I don't know. I don't know anything.
I have a golden retriever. Uh-huh. She's 10 months old. And I have a mini Australian shepherd.
Oh, wow.
Have you ever seen these dogs?
No, but they sound cute.
They look like the golden retriever's 60 pounds. Right. And the mini Australian shepherd's maybe 30.
Wow. But and it looks like an Australian shepherd?
But she looks like a light calico cat. But she's got brown on her face and black and silver and white. And she's just the, bar none, the smartest dog I've ever met in my life.
Oh, wow. That's cool. Dog first.
And she was her dog first.
Oh, wow.
But there was an incident.
My older dog tried to eat her.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah. The older dog was kind of crabby and set in her ways.
Yeah. Where I live out in the.
Is that what your dog looks like?
Well, it's lighter, but yeah, similar. Yeah. And it's all one color, like a lighter brown.
My dog is like that, looks just like that, and it's all one color. Yeah. My older dog. But they told me it was a Tennessee tree walker. Does that sound right?
Maybe. I don't, yeah.
I don't even know if that's a dog, to be honest.
It sounds like a dog.
Yeah, I'd go with
either
it.
Either that or a government agent.
Yeah.
Tennessee tree walkers have been out here looking for the stills.
Yeah. Jack tree walker.
Jack tree walker private eye.
Yeah. It's like somewhere, there's some Native American in him.
What's the name of the guy who in your band who used to wear the bunny ears?
Ollie Stack. He's still in the band.
And he's the one who has the duct tape bow tie too, right?
I
listen to Bob too much.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we do a thing called the Moonlight Orchestra mm-hmm. where we have this really, it's a very classy night. We have a string section and a jazz orchestra and he'll show up. You know, and I'm like, please wear your tux to the show. Don't wear the bunny suit. Don't wear the dickies. Mm-hmm. And so he'll show up in his tux. And yeah, his bow tie is made out of duct tape.
Duct tape. Yeah.
And if he takes his jacket off, one of the arms is ripped off his shirt. But he refuses. He won't buy clothes. He's the most incredible person I've ever met.
I don't think I've ever met anybody in the band. I need to come and meet the band tonight. Can I come and meet the band?
Absolutely. You should meet them all. They're hang out on the bus with us.
I think Ollie wore a Bob and Tom t-shirt one time, actually, on stage at the Music Mill, I think.
If he did, somebody gave it to him, or he found it. Yeah.
I think it was because it was in the swag bag.
Yeah.
And how long have you been? Are you guys are all, you know, a listener? You're all great friends and you get along. All the time, you have barbecues at everybody's house, and
we don't hang out at all when we're at home. It's so weird, and I love all the guys in my band; they're wonderful, and I love hanging out with them. I love being on the road with them, but we don't hang out when we're in Austin because we see each other so much.
For like 2 weeks concentrated, and then you just want to get away.
And we see each other 4 times a week. Usually, we play a lot of gigs together, and so yeah. When we're not working, we don't.
Yeah, they hang out about as much as you and Bob and Tom.
Oh, that's true. But yeah. I don't really hang out with anybody. I mean, I
wasn't going to be that intrusive. But if you'd like to, I mean, what do you like? Go home and watch a TV show and then go to bed, or I think I'll write a song tonight. Do you have a process? Or?
Well, I've got a 9-year-old son, right. So I'm hanging out with him, you know, 3 days a week, and then I've got a girlfriend, and so, you know, she wants me to not just work all the time, so I have to hang out with her and do some stuff, which is great and fun, and so it doesn't leave a lot of free time to do other things. Mm-hmm. So I like being at home. I live out in the country. It's real peaceful out there. I got a couple acres and a dog, and there's horses out there. Not mine, but the neighbors have them, and it's just real nice and peaceful. So, and it's a drive to get out there. It's 30 minutes from town, so. Yeah.
Austin continues to be one of the best kept, I guess it's not such a secret anymore, but as far as beautiful climate, culturally, restaurants, cool people, it's got to be in the top five in the United. I mean, and people really don't know about it, but they do, but they find that they never get there or something. I don't know what I'm trying to say, but it's a very cool place to live.
It is. It's great. I love it. There's a couple great cities. I love Portland. It's very similar to Austin.
Mm-hmm. Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
But I like the thing that I love most about Austin is it's just real friendly. People are, you know, for as big as the city is, it's kind of got a small town in Texas vibe to it.
Mm-hmm.
But it's very liberal and people are open-minded, and you know, you have conservatives and liberals and cowboys and hippies and gays and, you know, I don't know. You just have a lot of different types of people just living in the same place, and everybody's getting along and enjoying themselves and being very nice and friendly. And, you know, obviously you have that all over the states in small towns, but it's rare to find that in a city the size of Austin. I think Austin's like right at 1 million.
Mm-hmm. Oh wow!
So
I didn't know that.
Yeah, the metro Austin keeps growing and sucking up little towns as it gets bigger.
Have you seen the Eagles documentary?
I have not.
It is. it reminds him talking about Texas and Don Henley and they all started out in Texas and. Very much that that small city, large city. Like, I was thinking how, I don't, here in Indianapolis, I guess I'm, you know, like I'll go into the CVS and I've got a little bitty, you know.
Your CVS fan club.
Yeah, I mean, people know who I am, but they leave me alone, you know.
Sure,
they
yeah.
don't leave me alone, but they're like, you know, oh, hey, if you need a picture or ask them for tickets or something like that. I get that every now and then. But I don't, and I'm, you play every night. Every Monday night when you're home, you play at the Saxon.
Yeah.
And that is that like an old, do you, because I've seen the playback of a video on your, on the website.
Yeah.
And it's just such a cool, laid back, I mean, it's not that they're like, they're taking you for granted, but it's got to be a great thing to think, okay, well, Monday night I'm going to go play at the Saxon and I can work out some stuff and get a cool response. That's got to be very rewarding.
Yeah. It's like, it's kind of like Cheers.
I was going to say, are you Norm there? Is that how that is?
Pretty much, yeah. I mean, and there's a group of people that have been coming to that show for 6 years, 10 years. They're there every Monday night. So there's like a whole family of people that come every Monday. And that's like everybody knows each other. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it's
that's real. That's kind of like when you go to CVS and get your Prevacid and the lady knows. It's kind of the same.
And my Tito's Vodka, sure. Also from Austin. I go into CVS and get that, and yeah, that's my go home, pet the dogs, put on some Bob. Do you get a lot of your fans saying that they? Because I'm amazed this morning because starting yesterday afternoon, I started going back and re-listening to albums and songs that I was not familiar with or that familiar. And like I told you this morning, I hadn't really listened to the Galaxy Kings record, but that. That song, what my head heard last
things
night.
Things my head heard. Yeah.
Things my head heard. That, I mean, do you get fans like that to go, hey, because I feel I'm not, like in 2 years, I feel like I'll listen to Burden of Proof. You know, I have the wind and, sure, and weed out the week and stuff. And then it starts to, icicles start, you know, I mean, I guess that's art, right? Is any of this making any sense?
Sure. You're really good with the questions.
I do the same thing. I have these artists that I really enjoy their work, but I'll find something I really like and then I'll listen mm-hmm. to that to death. And then they might come up with something else or they might have some old material.
Yeah.
And I'm not necessarily interested in checking it out or even researching it because there's this one thing I like so much that seems good enough for me.
Right.
And then, and I also feel like I've also been burned with people like where I won't name names or anything.
You almost did, uh-huh.
But where you'll like somebody and then you'll check out some of their other stuff and you're like, this isn't as good as the other thing.
This can't be the same person that was doing.
And so there's that thing that like it's probably not that good if I haven't heard mm-hmm. it yet, you know. So yeah.
But do you find that have you done that where you've really liked someone's music and then maybe you had the opportunity to work with them and you met them and you were like, fuck, this guy's an ass.
No.
That's good. I'm glad.
Just mainly because I've never really worked with anybody that I've liked, unfortunately. No, that's not true. I have worked with some people that I really admire. And normally what I've found is that if somebody's truly talented, they tend to be really nice. Mm-hmm. And if they happen to be sort of mediocre but are famous
because there's some kind of defense that they have about it, and it doesn't.
Then
make
they
nice
probably
person.
Know they're mediocre.
Right.
Though I think those people tend to be a little harder to deal with. But I think people that are genuinely talented,
right?
The ones that I've met are truly like Ben Folds is one of my favorite. Artists, and he was in the song game for a minute, and like when he joined the game, he like sent out an email like, hey, I'm really excited to be part of this and thanks for letting me be a part of your group. And then he was in it for a while and then he got busy and so he had to get out. And usually people just like, that's it. You know, they just peace out and you never hear from him again. Mm-hmm. He again sent this email like, hey, it's been just an incredible experience working with you guys. And you're all so talented. And and we're just like, oh, my God, this guy's like the nicest guy in the world.
Yeah.
And so, yeah, that's been my experiences. That's people good. That you know are really talented tend to be just nice. Or maybe they're just aware of
how
they affect people. I don't know.
We get nothing but good reports on you from the world of Twitter, at least. I mean, and when I'm out, I'll see somebody go, oh, I saw Bob, it was a great show, and sure enough, almost every time they'll go, and I met him after the show and he was mm-hmm. such a nice guy. There's a lady now on Twitter who met you when you were
She tweeted me a picture last
playing
night.
In mm-hmm. Texas one time, and met a nice picture. And is that something you have to make a point of, or it's just like, nah, this is, you know, they came to see me, so we'll have a picture or whatever.
Well, I mean, I try to go out and meet people, and then sometimes I won't because I'm whatever. But I remember I had an experience one time where I went and tried to talk to a guy that I saw him play. And I thought he did a great job, and then I just happened to run into him afterwards because he was opening up for somebody, and mm-hmm. I wanted to say, hey, I really enjoyed your show, and thanks. And as I was doing that, somebody caught his attention, and he just like turned away and then just kind of walked off, and he mm-hmm. didn't know what he was doing, but mm-hmm. it just had this like, I was like, wow, that guy's not cool.
Yeah.
And so I'm just so aware of that whenever I meet somebody.
Right.
I'm like, well, this might be the only time I ever interact with them. Mm-hmm. This might be the only time I ever meet them. So I just want to make sure that they know that I appreciate, you know, that they're coming up and saying hi or that they're saying that they like what I do, you know.
Have you always been this wise?
No.
Because me either.
Not at all.
Because there's a famous story of it's not as famous to me. There's another radio personality who works, or he works down in Bloomington, actually. His name's Brad Holtz. And I was at a Lowe's hardware store when he was, he's probably 30-some now, and he was 14-something when he came out. He had his little Indianapolis Colts hat on and a sweatshirt, and he came up to meet me at Lowe's. And I'm just, he's telling me this story, I went down to Bloomington to see some comedy or something, and we met for dinner, and he wanted to tell me this story, and I'm starting to squint. I go, I was unkind, was it? He goes, no, you were unbelievably supportive. I told you I wanted to be on the radio just like you, and you couldn't have been nicer. And I was just like, oh my God, I'm so lucky, because at that point in my life, there were, you know, things going on that make you
sure
not thankful and appreciative, and you have no perspective. And, you know, if some little kid in a stupid hat comes up and starts to bug you, you know, hey, get out of here. I'm busy, kid. You know, and that certainly happened. And I'd like to apologize to those kids that I did that to. But yeah, you're right.
I mean, I can't imagine you doing that.
No, he doesn't. No, I've
I think I think maybe you imagine yourself,
you know what,
doing
I
that
think,
more than you actually
I
do.
Think I imagine, and I think I imagined that it was a lot worse than what it was. But I'm sure that it was bad.
You know what? At this point, I think that, you know, when you hear the same story growing up over and over again, like from other family members, that you at some point you go, okay, is this my memory, or is this my memory of them telling me the same fucking story over and over again?
Oh yeah, for sure.
So that happens all the time. I think at this point in his career, there's so many people that have told him shit stories that now in his mind, all of them were him being awful.
Yeah,
and it's not even your memory. It's just people just kind of pushing this on
you. You know what it's like? It's like alien abduction.
You're not, you didn't hear any fucking,
you know what they say is that...
Well, I'll tell you what I've found is this. Like, if you go up, if you meet a stranger and they're meeting you for the first time, and you might just be cordial with them. Mm-hmm. You might just be, oh, thank you, but not smiling. Mm-hmm. And you're preoccupied. You've got problems, whatever's going on. Mm-hmm. But you're not rude to them. You're just like, hey, thanks. And thanks for that. And I'll see you later. But now they'll walk away from that interaction. They'll go, oh, that guy was... I don't know about that guy.
You know,
he was kind of a dickhead.
Yeah, Chick's and always said that they come up with these expectations.
And it's only because you didn't smile and you didn't maybe say their name or something,
but,
you know?
And
if you just do those small little things, then people will come away from it
but
with
what
a
else?
Completely different
What else I think in my head,
story.
Though, if I say, okay, I'm going to smile with this person and say, but I think, and I think I'm right, if I'm even the least bit insincere, people pick up on it. Am I right about this?
No.
Yeah, but you're...
You can be insincere all day long.
Really?
Oh, my God.
Hey, how are you? See?
No,
I'm
that's
being an
thing.
Asshole.
Yeah, that's the thing.
And they won't know?
Have you seen that thing on HBO? I think it's called Live History.
The Larry... No.
Larry David, yeah.
Larry David.
Is it,
yeah.
Oh, Clear History.
Clear, yes.
Did you watch that?
No, I'm wanting to, though.
But he's like... He's talking to... He's... He tells this guy to go fuck himself, and then realizes he's made a huge mistake. So he comes back the next day and he's apologizing to him. He's like, "Hey, look, I'm really sorry that I did this." He's like, "You sound very insincere with your apology." He's like, "Yeah, of course I'm insincere about my apology, but I'm making the apology, and that's the important thing, not the sincerity of it." And the guy was like, "And so the guy's like, well, you're still fired, and I'm sorry it went down this way." And he's like, Are you sincere about that apology? And the guy's like, no. And he's like, you're doing what I just did. Yeah. So funny.
Oh, that's like the great, when Richard Lewis was on Curb, Larry's other, one of his other shows, that I forget what Larry told him, but Richard Lewis goes, okay, that's incredibly insulting and mean. It's funny, and I'm laughing, but I still want an apology or
right.
something, you know,
yeah.
because it's something that he said. I don't know, you know? I think we'd all be better off if we didn't have to interact with people, don't you think?
I think it's one of those weird things. Like you've said 1,000 times, you got into radio so you could sit in a small little room by yourself and play music that you love.
That's what people don't understand,
and you
really,
are doing
is that,
like the complete opposite.
How
of that.
Many people, yeah. I've always said, I fucked up in reverse. I mean, I'm on one of the popular morning radio shows in the country, and I'm not cut out for it.
Yeah, but I think at some point you have to realize like how much enjoyment and how... You know, how much relief you're providing from people's daily lives. You know, you're like, you're making people laugh daily and giving them, you're like providing this amazing service for people. And so they're just coming up to you like saying, hey, thanks for that. And I know that you're not doing it for them. You're doing it for yourself.
So uncomfortable because of the way I respect you and love your music that you've just complimented me. I literally don't know what to do right now.
Right, but I think at some point you have to kind of take responsibility for what you know what you've accomplished and stuff and go, mm-hmm. Oh yeah, I guess I am
but
providing
being,
something
oh,
for people.
Oh yeah.
You have to, well, it's not, yeah, it's you not, know. It's not that. It's just right. Like, you know, you're just like, oh, okay, well, that's cool. Mm-hmm. 'Cause people would come up to me and go, oh man, I was going through a really hard time, and then I was listening to your music, and it really helped me through. And, you know, part of me was like, well, okay, that's great. And I want to explain to them why I'm just doing it because I've got problems, you know, or whatever.
Right.
But they then after a while, you realize, hey, you know, you've really helped somebody out, you know, accidentally. Right. It wasn't your intention necessarily.
Maybe that's where my awkwardness comes from. Maybe I would
feel
better.
But you did do that.
Well.
And so, yeah, that's great that that happened. So now I just say, wow, thanks.
Do you have someone after a show or at any time when they're walking towards you and you look and you kind of like, do you ever do the, oh, man, I don't want to do that. I mean, because I've stood with him at autograph tables. And
no,
stuff.
And can I call it, though?
No, but there's a very specific person that Chick will go, I mean, you got to tell me that I got to go. You do, right now, tell me that I got to go. And then they go, hey, you know.
Well, there, yeah.
That sounds bad.
No, most of the 99% of the time, people just want to come up and say, hey, thank you, mm-hmm. you know, and you did a great job, and you're in and out. But then you will come up across these people and they feel entitled and they're drunk and they want to take your time. Yeah.
And
you know, and there's no, and at first I was like, well, okay, I'm going to hang in there and I'm going to give these people my time. But every time you're going to lose, because at the end they're like, what? Yeah. You're splitting? We've just spent 15 minutes talking and you're splitting now? What's wrong with you?
We're not going to my brother's?
Right. We're not going to go jam on the djembe or whatever it is? Am I hippie hangout? No. And so after a while, you realize that and you you're going to lose. So you're just like, well. Mm-hmm. Try to keep it short.
And right. Better to shake their hand and say, hey, I got to go quick.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate that.
I thought you were finishing up the podcast. I was like, we're done?
No. I'm trying to think.
You remember that time we went to the FedEx Field Stadium? What's it called?
Where the Washington football team plays. Yes. The NFL team. Yeah.
Yes. Is it FedEx?
Yep. FedEx Field.
Mm-hmm. So we were there and we went with Joe Theismann.
Yes. And Joe Theismann has kind of become a friend. I mean, I can text
but
Joe.
They're friends, I guess. But Chick still has that starstruck.
I mean,
like,
it's Joe Theismann. He's won a Super Bowl with my favorite NFL team
for
30 years.
And then, so we're in the tunnel where the players run out, right? And then John Riggins comes up.
Couple this with the night was they were honoring the greatest plays in Redskins football history.
Which Chick knew before they even
And I knew what
together.
Number one was going to be, and it involved John Riggins, and it was Super Bowl 17, and the play's called 70 Chip, and he runs for a touchdown against the Dolphins, and the Redskins win the Super Bowl. And that guy is standing next to me.
Right.
And Joe Theismann, who has said, hey, JR, is what Joe calls John Riggins.
Right.
I don't call him JR. I call him Mr. Riggins or Sir or whatever.
Sure.
But you do remember me telling you later how embarrassed I was for you because you're such a fan. I kind of feel that a little bit right now.
No. Because Joe looked at... No, but Bob's being a lot... Yeah. Well, I am a friend, but I've come to sort of know Bob, and I realize I'm not bothering him yet.
Right. But we got into... So we're going to take the train back to the hotel where we're going and everything, and Joe Theismann goes, no, I'll take you guys back to your hotel. And so then he's like freaking out all over again. So we get into his car, and I mean, just get into his Jeep Cherokee, and he's like, hey, I want you to hear something. And he puts in a Mr. Obvious CD, which is the character that Chick does. And he's like, this one's my favorite. This is when you say it.
Wow.
And to see that reverse, I was just sitting in the back seat like, oh my God.
I'm still sweating hearing this story a little bit.
That's so cool.
Yeah,
it was cool.
Really
it was
really cool. So. Anyway, I'm trying to think of songs that all of your songs, the ones that I love the most really make me feel something, and even the up-tempo ones make me feel, but it's a good kind of sad, you know? I mean,
well, that's the idea. I mean, that's really what I'm shooting for every time I write a song, no matter what it is. I you know, I'm not like writing about my own life, or I'm not trying to like tell people what I've been doing, but I do want to have the song have some sort of emotional resonance with the listener.
Yeah.
So that's when I'm really, when I'm writing, I'm really like, it's not even like I'm listening to the lyrics. I'm just like, I'm trying to like, does this make me feel anything? Mm-hmm. And then as soon as I feel something, I'm like, okay, that was right. Whether it's like, maybe I'll think it's funny, or I'll think it's sad, or
is it
or
like
heartbreaking, or
is it like taking a test that you've studied for and you get the answer to the test, and that feeling you get is you're like, I'm so, that is the right answer to that question.
Yeah, it is similar to that. It's like I think of it as like a math puzzle.
Story problem.
It's like a problem, yeah, that has a solution. So, so I'm working on it, and I know that, like, it's solvable. Mm-hmm. So my job is to solve the puzzle, and then sometimes I do it quickly, and I'm like, okay, that's done. And then sometimes it takes me a while. Usually, the longer it takes, the less I'm convinced that it was actually solved. Usually,
Okay. So, because I was surprised that two of my favorite songs on your latest album, Burden of Proof, I Wish the Wind Would Blow Me Back to You, mm-hmm. and Weed Out the Week. Those songs have been around before. I mean, I guess my feeling is when you go to prepare an album, I need to write 10 songs, and here's the 10 songs, and there they go on the album. But those two songs, I heard them on a couple of the live, I know the one's on the Paramount live CD, and then there's another one with the fan favorite is on.
Yeah, well, what I do when I get ready to make a record is I just take all the songs that I've got and try to figure out what's going to make a good record. So there's songs that I wrote 7 or 8 years ago or 10 years ago that still haven't found their way on a record that are good songs. I just mm-hmm. haven't found a place for them yet.
I guess that didn't dawn on me. But that, when you think about it, that seems like that's the truest, realest way to do it. You know, I mean, instead of going in and writing 13 songs for an album seems a little bit prefab to me. You know what I mean? Like manufactured almost.
Well, I think the
Green Day.
Yeah, like Green Day. Yeah.
Well, I think the problem with writing songs is like if you just write 13 songs, you're like, these are 13 great songs. If you write 52 songs, then you've got 13 great songs and you've got whatever the math is, 30 whatever something songs that 39. Aren't as good as those 12 songs.
Right.
So you have some perspective on it. So now I've got literally hundreds and hundreds of songs that are kind of in the queue to go on the next record. And then what are the best songs to put on this record? And then those are the songs I put on the record.
Are you gonna have a new record anytime soon?
Yeah, we started recording it a few months ago, just kind of on a fluke. It's not been a few months. I guess that was 10 months ago. Maybe it was a year. Who knows how long ago it was. Seems like a few months ago, but it's probably over a year ago now.
Right.
But we recorded 6 or 7 songs that are going to be on the new record. And so now we're just going to go in and finish up the rest of it and put it out.
That's awesome. I would. It's funny when you said, as long as I feel something, it's not necessarily like personal, but it invokes feeling and it. Right. But I always, when I listen to music and yours, you know, especially, I guess, that I get a little, who was the lady from?
I'm great.
The Andy Griffith. Yeah. Talking to me is like doing a Mad Lib. Like the Andy Griffith show. And it wasn't Aunt Bee, but it was the nosy bitch that was.
Aunt Bee's best friend. I can see her. I don't know what her name is.
I can't remember.
Gladys Kravitz. No, that's the Bewitched.
Is it Mrs. No?
No.
But either way, I always feel like that nosy lady, like, what is going on in his life that made him say this?
Right.
I was like, man, I hope he's not this miserable. There's a couple of them where you're like, damn, you okay?
Well, I do feel like whatever I'm feeling in my life comes through in the song. So if I'm going through a hard time, emotion is going to come out in the song. If I'm in love, then that's going to come through. Like when I was writing Lovely Creatures, that mm-hmm. record, I kept writing all these love songs, but I was going through a divorce and I was in a pretty tumultuous relationship that was half the time we were broke up. Mm-hmm. And so my life was super chaotic and I was really not like in a place where I would be writing love songs. But at the same time, my son was, you know, two or whatever, however old he was. Mm-hmm. And I was just so in love with my son. And it mm-hmm. opened up my heart in a way that I've never could have imagined. And so I realized later, I was like, oh, the feeling, this love, like when I wrote 40 Dogs, mm-hmm. I mean, I was in the middle of a divorce and broken up from my girlfriend. I was in a horrible place, but that song's about being, you know,
and
that
and it's one of the most optimistic, heartbreaking songs I've, you know, I mean, you can tell that he's not there yet, but by God, it's coming mm-hmm. at some point, you know?
Yeah, it's weird how I'm never sure what I'm writing about. It's like I said, it's very subconscious, very intuitive, the writing process. And it's only later on that I kind of figure out what it all means. Or,
and when you did Tom's favorite song this morning,
oh, Love Is Everywhere.
Love Is Everywhere. You listen and I'm like, the lyrics aren't, they're not sad, but fuck.
No,
you know,
you find
yourself crying. Like, the imagery. Yeah.
It's not amazing.
But it's just like you listen and you're like, I feel like I should be able to power through this song. Like, he's not saying anything super sad. Like, no one's dying. It's okay. But then you listen to the song and I'm like, God, for you to be able to do that and not be so obvious about it, like, what a gift.
Well, again, I don't know what I'm doing. You know? That's the bottom line.
No,
when I'm writing this song, you know, when I wrote that song, it wasn't like, oh, I'm going to write really some song that's going to move people. I just got up and I was like, I'm going to write a song. And then I just started writing it down. And I don't ask any questions. I really just try to, oh, that's interesting. Oh, that's cool. I love that. I love that line. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's cool that it takes this little turn at the end, mm-hmm. kind of unexpectedly. Mm-hmm. Oh, that's kind of, you know, I'm like, as I'm doing it, I'm discovering it. It's right. Like an adventure, you know, it's like an adventure. I'm like, right. Wow, that's cool.
I don't want to beat your process to death, but do you do any short stories? Like, have you ever gone that direction?
Well,
like,
you write The Stinking Hand or whatever, isn't that that blog?
Well,
I
write poems.
Yeah.
Poems, okay.
But again, poems are short enough to where, again, it feels like something that's solvable and that there's an answer to. Mm. And I think anything longer than lyrics or a poem, like a short story, it's just, it gets so abstract and mm-hmm. so, like, there doesn't seem to be like a right answer to it. So it's too mm-hmm. much for me.
Yeah.
It's like who to be when there's a crowd of people around.
Right.
You know, it's like, I'm just going to be real quiet now because mm-hmm. there's a lot of people around. I don't know who I'm supposed to be. Mm-hmm. So, I've never had any success writing long form. And I'm always impressed by people who do it because that seems real.
The arc and the conflict and the resolution.
It just seems...
Foreshadowing and
the... Yeah, like you're just walking out into the desert or something. Like, and with no chance... You know, you got to make it to the other side or you're going to die. It just sounds horrible. I like to take little short, tiny excursions into the unknown.
I'm going to drive into the city. I'm going to come right back.
Exactly. Keep it real short.
You know, when I'll be out and talking to people and they'll stop me and they're nice. And of course, as we all know, I'm nice right back. Mm-hmm. And they'll say, hey, remember that thing you said the other day about whoever? And man, I laughed about that all day. Remember that? And I always go, yeah, I remember that.
Right.
And I have no idea. I can't. There are things we play back on the air all the time. And
sure.
I have a part in it and I might have wrote part of it. I have no recollection of it whatsoever.
Oh, yeah.
Is that normal?
No, I have the same thing because you know, we record all the shows now.
Right.
And I've been doing that for 8 or 9 years. And I don't know what I'm going to say on stage. I'm not good at, like, some people are good at memorizing stories and telling stories back in a way. Mm-hmm. I feel like if I do that, like, people have heard me tell the story already. If I've ever told it ever anywhere in the world.
Right.
So I have a hard time doing that.
You know, you had that look at me when I said hello to you this morning. I told you that I had not heard... that big sweet booty.
Yeah.
The live.
Don't give up that sweet booty.
Yeah, to anybody. And he stops in the song and he goes, seriously, I know this is a song. And he's talking at this point. He goes, seriously, I know this is a song. But it's really important you don't fuck anybody while I'm out of town. That's really great.
Right.
But he's looking at me like, I don't really remember saying that. I do, but I'm not sure what you're talking about.
Right. Well, people will come up and reference stuff that I've said on stage, and I don't. Sometimes I'll vaguely recall something. Yeah. You know,
sounds familiar. Sure.
Yeah. But lots of times I have no idea what they're talking about, and I just do what you do. Oh, yeah. That's great.
Oh, that's great. I'm glad
Thanks.
You enjoyed it.
Yeah. All right.
Before we started the podcast, you said we were talking about not listening. Like, I don't listen to our podcast, and that you... been in two films.
Yeah.
You've acted.
Right.
So how's that outlet? Is that something you like? I mean, is it a small part, or is it,
it's something I thought I'd always like, but here's what happens when I'm imagining acting, when I'm like learning the lines or whatever, I'm like, I got this.
Right.
You know, I'm like in character, I'm all together and cool and everything. And then I'll get on set, and then as soon as they yell action or whatever, or they're like, okay, we're rolling, then this voice starts booming in my head saying, you suck. You suck so bad. You are the worst. I mean, I can't even concentrate. I can't remember my lines because that voice is so loud and it just won't stop. And it's so weird. And I'm sure if I acted for 20 or 30 more hours,
right,
like it would take literally hours of being on film,
sure,
I would eventually drown that voice out. But since I've done so little of it, that's all I hear.
Yeah.
So it's uncomfortable for sure.
So if someone came to you tomorrow and said, hey, we have this part, would you read for it?
I might, just because I'm trying to do that thing where if I'm afraid of something or something's really uncomfortable, I'll try to do long as it's like... What's the worst thing that can happen? I suck.
Yeah. You know? I did that. I went to a party with a bunch of my son's football parents, and I didn't want to do it, and I made myself do it, and I was just like, oh, man. And it wasn't that bad.
Yeah. It wasn't that bad.
It wasn't that bad. It's just you have this, like Real Housewives idea that this is how it's going to be. Or
you know,
this
happens with the...
And so the weird thing that happened was this guy had his phone and it was flipped like this, and on his screen it was really white. And I was like, that's weird. That looks familiar. And I leaned over and it was. But at the same time I'm looking, and then I was like, that's Bob. That's a Bob song. I was like, who's got their Bluetooth look? But I'm looking to... It's our podcast, and he's playing the songs you played on the last podcast. And I was so I didn't know whether to feel uncomfortable or to acknowledge it or to not say anything.
So did he know? Because there are a lot of people you meet that they don't know that you do this podcast, right?
I don't know. If they do, well...
Or they keep it on the down low, or...
I later realized that it was like, I think he was trying to say, hey, I like your podcast. I like Bob, you know, and like didn't know. So it was kind of one of these, I'm going to put my...
I don't want to make this sound self-centered, but did he mention me in there at all?
No, he didn't, actually. Oh. It was great. And so I was just like, hey, yeah. And he made some joke about something I had said, and it was actually a very nice without being weird and awkward.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah, so I guess that was the payoff of going out of my comfort zone and hanging out with these other parents.
So you don't like social situations then?
No.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
No, not especially when you got to deal with other people's kids, too.
Right.
Like, that's like adults are... but then their kids are like a direct reflection of how they are. You know what I mean?
Right.
So then it's just like...
I feel like most of the adult interactions that I've had over the last few years now are play dates or get-togethers with other classmates of my son. And so that's... I feel like that's probably who I've hung out with, besides my band, more... than anybody else.
Yeah,
and it's a diverse group.
I'm sure where you guys are, it's a little different than where we are. Like, just this little suburb in the Midwest.
No, I'm sure it's probably...
You think it's about the same?
Oh yeah,
that's what everybody says. Yeah. They're like, whatever town you go to where you're raising kids, it's gonna be about the same. You're gonna have the same kind of people in that group that come and go.
It's like, it's really kind of like going back to high school, because you can't really pick the people that you're hanging out with, you're just kind of thrown in with this group of people.
Yeah.
And then some people you get along with and some people you don't, but you kind of tolerate everybody.
Yeah.
It is what it is. I, there's some good
Tom's always said this about those parent-teacher nights when he goes and he listens to the teachers. And,
yeah.
You know, when the other parent, a parent will raise their hand.
When somebody goes, do you have any questions? And everybody's going, God, please.
And it's always the right. When they were in high school, they always ask questions when they show, oh, well, you forgot to give us that quiz, Miss Whatever. This person has turned into this adult that says,
my son speaks Mandarin and
Mandarin German, and is that going to be offered this year, or you're going to take the easy way? I mean, this is their way, I guess.
It's just so, and it's odd because, you know, like, everybody's like, well, you know, no kid's different. Well, yeah, my kid's different because it's my kid. You know? And I think my kid's pretty fucking cool.
Yeah.
And chances are your kid's a lot less cool than my kid.
Not only is he less cool.
Yeah, he really is.
He really is. Yeah. I mean, it's not just because he's my kid.
Yeah.
He actually is cooler.
That's the fact.
Right.
Yeah.
He's a lot cooler.
But we've been, so it's like I put a lot of faith into my kid. Like, the kid you're hanging out with better be pretty fucking cool too.
Right.
And totally lucked out that this is the case, and this group is, their kids are good, everybody's nice, you know.
How old was he?
He's 10.
Oh, he's 10.
I have a 10-year-old son, and I have an 8-year-old daughter.
All right.
And her group is,
because I feel like eight for my son was just like the most, it was just fighting I was fighting with him the whole year, or he was fighting with me. And I was like, hey, can't we just get along?
They said second grade is a huge transition, that 8-year-old second grade year.
Yeah,
it's a huge transition for kids.
Yeah, yeah. I'm ready to stop having him fight me all the time on everything.
Right. So, yeah. Nice. It's just the, we were talking about that the other day. There's a kid and there's such thing as the oppositional defiance disorder. Like, I never even heard this.
Oh.
And I was like, what did you say?
Yeah, I definitely have that.
Yeah, that it's just like, it's like the kid doesn't necessarily, like, he doesn't really care what it is,
I feel like I have that as an adult.
He's going the other way. Because
everything people say, I'm like, no, I'm going the other way on everything.
Yeah, exactly.
So maybe he got that genetically from me.
But I had no idea, like, but this is a diagnosed thing now. And I was like, no, your kid's a shithead. Like, that's what happened,
right,
is what I wanted to say to the parent, you know?
Right.
And it's just, I don't know. Maybe still because you're wiping his ass. I have no idea. It has something to do with it.
Well, I don't know if it's quite that.
Severe, I don't know. But I'm just saying. But I think that's. I think every kid goes through that stage, and instead of diagnosing it, like, you're just gonna have to, like, okay, this is a part of growing up. This is gonna suck for a while.
Yeah.
When I was single dad, and when I was doing all those teenage girl things, my dad's like, your life is going to suck. It's going to suck. You're going to cry. I'm not going to know what to fucking do with you. Like, we're just going to have to, like, work this out. And I was just like, oh, well, yeah, okay. You know, and there's all these other girls that are like, I'm 10, my mom put me on Paxil and I'm 15. And you know what I mean? So it's I kind of was very fortunate for that. So I'm sure your son's, you know, very fortunate that you have a level head and you're going to be able to go, hey, this is going to suck for a minute.
Yeah, I feel like we're doing a good job, me and the ex-wife now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I'm happy about
how it's going.
How it's going, yeah.
Yeah. So he's 9. So is it like Lego City? Like
No, Legos? it's all Minecraft,
and Star Wars. Is he into any of those?
No, he's into sports a lot. He's playing baseball, and then of course he just got into soccer with the World Cup. And,
right.
Oh yeah.
He's basically whatever his friends are into.
Okay.
Like, oh, they're collecting Pokemon cards. No, he's all the Pokemon.
Sure.
And then whatever he digs into, he goes
completely.
Completely.
Yeah. The T-shirt, the hat.
He's 100% committed, and then he'll stop doing it, and that's it.
Mm-hmm, that's
never looks back.
Yeah. Have you messed with the Minecraft?
I tried, but it's baffling to me why these kids like it.
Doesn't it seem like something that came out when we were kids?
First of all, it looks like bad graphics to me.
It's horrible.
It's horrible.
Yeah.
I don't get it.
And I'm like, why do you like this? And he's like, because you can do anything you want.
Yeah, you build a city.
I'm like,
you
can do anything you got. But I get it. But he can't do everything he wants. Like, in real life, I'm like, mm-hmm. all I do is tell him no. Well, that's sure. my well, main conversation is no. Mm-hmm. And so in Minecraft, there's nobody's telling him no. Mm-hmm. So I guess I get it, but mm-hmm. in my life, nobody's really telling me no, including myself. So I don't
maybe
need to play Minecraft.
You would play
life
Minecraft
is Minecraft for me.
That's a good thought.
I felt like I was saying no a lot in finals, because especially this summer, it's like, this is the only time I'm away from the kids is right now. And so there was, so I've said, get real and power through. Like those are the two, those are the phrases. Like my kids
power
are
power through.
Yeah. They'll be like, yeah, they'll be like, I hate broccoli. And I'm like, power through. You're going to have to power through. Right. I don't care. Like,
I'm
going to
try power through and see
power
what happens.
Power through. Yeah.
Here's my son with power through. Don't ever tell me that again. Like he would tell me that. He's like, don't say that again.
Get out of your mind. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's power well, through. Yeah,
we started this podcast, and I said we didn't let you play enough songs last time, Bob, and you haven't played any so far.
I'm ready to play whenever you want.
I have a request that's not a request, but like, do you have some crazy song that you would like? You don't ever like. Like, I don't want to say David Allan Coe-ish, but like, but you know what I mean. Like how there's songs that he would never ever play except when no one was around. And I don't mean, I'm not saying.
Well, I feel like the song that I wrote last week, which was that sad old lonely lady song, yeah. I don't know if I'll ever play that live.
Ever? Not even right here?
I don't know. First, I don't have the lyrics, so I just wrote it, so I can't do it right now. But okay. I don't know. It's kind of mean. I don't like songs that are kind of mean-spirited, and this one definitely is a little harsh.
Yeah. And you just needed like, was it like a therapeutic, like, I got to get this out?
No, it was one of those things where we're on the bus and me and one of the guys on the bus are trying to make each other laugh and started singing this song, Sad Old Lonely Lady. And I was like, oh, that'll be the song I'll write this week. And then as I'm writing it, I realized, well, I'll probably never play this song. But that happens a lot.
Is it kind of like a groupie thing?
Just like somebody out just getting way too wasted and hanging out and
feeling
stuff.
Bad. Or
just, I don't know.
Regrets or no?
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. You know, who knows?
Okay. What about Boombox? Did I hear Boombox? Is that the name of that? Boombox?
Boombox, it's like a real fast sort of garage rock song, yeah.
Is that, yeah, but there were some bad words in it, as I recall, wasn't there? Or is that?
Do you say bad words?
Yeah, bad words. Curse words, some curses.
Well, Boombox, I changed the lyrics. I wrote lyrics for it originally, but now I just kind of scream a bunch of stuff and then and then just say Boombox on the chorus.
Okay, Boombox, Boombox. And you don't know
what I'm going to say?
You don't know what you're going to say.
Well, it's usually just gibberish. It's not even real words. Sometimes I'll try to make like kung fu noises or stuff like that.
Well, we should have you play a song, Bob.
Sure. Do you want me to do that things my head hurt?
From Galaxy Kings. Yeah.
Okay, I'll try. I thought I had the lyrics for it, but somehow it's like some
just
kind
kidding.
Of,
it's gone now. What?
No, it's a set list. I'll try to play it. I may mess it up.
Just power through.
Yeah. These are the things my head heard last night. These are the things my head heard last night. Like, I'm lost. I don't know. I don't know what the first words.
That's
the first
song,
chorus. Yeah, that's the
that's
chorus.
The thing that's on Galaxy Kings. You can
okay.
That up and,
that wait, was it
the cliffhanger?
Like
you write your life. No, I can't. That's horrible. I don't know. That'd be horrible trying to figure it out. I thought I had the lyrics here, but I don't, and I don't play that song very often. So
yeah, I like I said, I heard it on the way into work this morning. So do you want to hear?
so far, F minus for. For my songs.
That's
I just want to hear a song that you like to play that's like that you just enjoy playing.
I don't play a lot of songs I don't enjoy.
Right, that would be that was stupid of me to say.
Well, yeah. No. Like a lot of people request like Ass Knocker is a song mm-hmm. that people, I don't know if they like the song or they just like saying the word Ass Knocker.
Yeah, but I motherfucker would, all night long. Yeah, probably. Yeah,
but that's a song I would never, I played for years and I would never play unless people requested it. And even when they requested, I don't normally play it, but I occasionally play it. But for the most part, I just play kind of the songs I want to play.
What about like something with, I know this sounds silly, but what people love about the podcast is that they can hear Chick curse. So do you got one that you couldn't do on Bob and Tom that you would?
Oh really yeah, like to? Okay, lots of songs.
What about that? What were we talking about this morning then?
Don't give up the sweet booty or the Stiffy.
Stiffy.
Yeah, sure. Let's do it.
Yeah, okay. Let's do Stiffy.
When we get done fucking, I just want to go strolling. But my baby says, man, you better think again. Better keep that stiffy rolling. She don't like no football. She don't like to go bowling. When I say, hun, let's have a little fun, she say, keep stiffy rolling. Well, she's got her yeast infection, and I got my stinky colon. She don't mind, we get along fine if I keep that stiffy rolling. My confidence is shaky, and myself, well, she has stolen. I can't say no when my baby says, yo, keep stiffy rolling. Well, my nuts are the size of chickpeas. My foreskin's tender and swollen. She don't give a damn. She just says, man, keep that stiffy rolling. Well, she don't mind fellatio. She don't mind cornholing. Says you can get it anywhere you can fit it if you keep that stiffy rolling. I'm gonna keep that stiffy rolling. Rawhide.
You know, I'm laughing for about 10 different reasons, but he actually came in. I'm not talking to you, Bob. He actually came in there and said, you think I could do a...
Who'd he ask? Who'd you
Dean?
Ask?
Dean! He was talking to me.
Well, except for...
And Dean's so great, because Dean was like, well...
Well, except... But I was going to change the first line to when we get done making love, and so I wouldn't use the word fucking.
Everything but else seems okay. Well, I mean...
There's no other curse words.
Right, there's no other curse words. But content, eh. He was nobody saying, wants to hear that in the morning.
Very descriptive, he was, yeah. Very descriptive about the foreskin.
Oh, I love
sore.
Watching Dean. Like I used to sit in that office there and hearing Dean tell someone what they couldn't do because Dean's so great at that. That's
oh,
why
he's very
so good.
Yeah, he's yeah. very diplomatic. Mm, like I was
yeah,
like,
just so good.
Can I say my nuts are the size of chickpeas, my foreskin's tender as well? He's like, I don't know. That might not be a good
one. Not really sure about that.
What booty song were you guys talking about before this?
Oh, can you do that?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Don't give up that sweet booty to some fast-talking cutie while I'm away from home. So far away from home. Save it for me, babe. Save it all for me. It might seem like a good idea, like buying furniture at IKEA. But it's more trouble than it's worth. And you can walk upon the earth for 100 years or so, but you will never find nobody who knows you better than me, who can see right through you, love everything that is said. Stephen still said, love the one you're with, but see, those were the goddamn 70s. And they were doing lots of cocaine. And they were feathering their hair back. And they were listening to the Bee Gees. Well, fuck those people. Well, they were all high then. And I know we're still all high now, but baby, I love you. It's gotta count for something. So don't give up that sweet booty. Just some fast talking smoothie. Who looks like some guy in a movie. Save it all for me.
I like it.
Well, thanks. Very nice. And do people say that you have a great sense of humor? Because you do. I don't know if you know that or not, but
let me run it through the computer. Is there a conversation that I've had? Hey, Bob, you've had a great sense of humor. Thanks, Joe. Here, let me roll over. I don't even know what that conversation would look like.
Rub my belly.
Yeah, that feels good.
But
well, tell me more about the sense of humor while you're doing that.
I just don't see singer-songwriters. I don't see James Taylor sitting around with a great sense of humor. I don't know.
You can't say that.
Well, I guess.
Well, it's weird. It's weird because there's a lot of people who don't necessarily use humor in their songs. The best example I can is Bruce Springsteen. There's not a drop of humor really in his that I know of. I'm not a huge Bruce Springsteen fan. I don't listen to his music. But every song I've heard, it seems to be very earnest and very like serious, which is great and it's wonderful. But when you see him live, he's very not funny, but kind of funny and real light, like real lighthearted, and has a lot of fun and is smiling and telling jokes and stuff in between the songs.
Huh.
So, you know, he obviously has a sense of humor that comes across
on stage.
No, well, I just saw the HBO special.
Oh, okay.
Which was amazing.
Yeah?
I mean, I was like, everybody, you know, says how great he is. I better watch this for a second and check it out. And I was like, whoa, this dude is the master of rocking the house. Like, I've never seen
just
anything like it.
Him and Garth Brooks.
I haven't seen that yet, but I should watch it. I did see.
Great. Did you watch the thing on Thanksgiving?
No, I watched Garth Brooks on, you know, when Oprah was having all the guests when she was just about to finish her show. Uh-huh. And then she had Garth Brooks on for like a show.
Yep.
And the thing I read, like Garth Brooks is like telling stories and like singing songs for her on guitar and stuff.
Right.
And like crying while he was singing them. And I was like, oh, that's what I got to do. I got to like care. Right. Like I got to like sell this shit. Right. You know what I mean? Cuz he was like believing it. Mm-hmm. And I was believing that he was believing it, and Oprah was definitely believing that he was believing it, and she was crying. Everybody was crying. I was like, "Man, that's it right there. You just got to be super earnest cuz people are looking for something. You know, life is super scary. Nobody knows what they're doing. So as soon as somebody comes along and says, hey, I know what I'm doing and this is the way, and they do it seriously and earnestly, then people pick up on that and they love it. And you look at all, you know, like U2 is a prime example. I mean, he doesn't use a lot of humor.
No, Bono, he seems like he'd be a bummer.
I bet you in real life he's probably pretty, who knows? I don't know anything about him. He seemed...
I'm
making up stuff, but yeah, in his music, it's very earnest.
Yeah, for sure.
But you know, I don't know. I have a hard time with earnestness in my music
for too long. Anyway,
I like putting a little bit of something in the music that's like, hey,
keep it light.
Yeah. Well, it's not even keep it. It's just like, I don't know. I don't know what I'm doing, and people can fake that they know what they're doing, and people believe them, you know, and then they become like presidents and leaders of huge corporate. You know what I mean?
Right. No,
if somebody just says,
right.
Hey, I know what I'm doing, people are like, oh, shit, that guy knows what he's doing.
Let's follow him.
Let's follow him because I don't.
Yeah.
And even those people that are saying they do, they don't know
what they're
doing.
Yeah.
But they realized, oh, that's the way to be successful. Mm-hmm. And I know it to be bullshit. So if I think it's bullshit, then I can't not call it for what I see it. But you know,
no, I'm
that's just me.
The Bruce Springsteen one. Cause I always thought like, Garth Brooks,
everybody's like, it's the best concert you'll ever see. He's such a great performer.
He sells it.
He flew, right? He was flying.
Yeah, he was flying. Like
Peter Pan.
Like way before Pink. Yeah, he was. But he was, he did this thing, I think it was like the Friday after Thanksgiving or something. And it was like, whatever his show is, like he has a show in Las Vegas, right?
Right, yeah, where he just does that, where he just plays guitar.
But he barely played any songs. Like it was all, it was a lot of stand-up. Like I'm curious to know who his writers were. Huh. Well, I mean, like Garth Brooks stand-up.
You know, I bet you that was just Garth Brooks being Garth Brooks.
Like just a good old boy, like cracking jokes and doing the thing. Absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, yeah. I mean, yeah.
Yeah.
I wouldn't doubt it.
I mean, I sat there. I sat there on the edge of the bed and was like, mouth open and just watch the whole thing, and then an hour later it's over, and I was like,
I know some people that went and saw him in Vegas and said it was one of the best shows they've ever seen.
Yeah, I mean, he kept my attention, obviously, so it was.
I don't know. I mean, he sold what, over 100 million records. I mean,
and then he quit.
Must be doing something right. Well, you can quit when you sell 100 million
records. And the Chris Gaines thing, what the hell was that all about?
I don't know, but that was
messed up.
I don't know, it's funny. Yeah. I enjoyed. I mean, I'm sure that, what would he do now? I'm sure he's just like, yeah, that was funny, wasn't it?
I'm sure he jokes about it.
Oh, yeah, you'd have to. Yeah, you'd have to. Yeah.
All right. Are you going to play another song?
Sure, yeah.
I recently found this one, too. You've done three or four versions of this, I believe, that I've heard. Patty Griffin sang one time with...
Changing Your Mind.
Changing Your Mind.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a good one.
What's so funny is nobody's laughing at this change of heart you're having. What's so funny is I'm filled up with thunder. I can't seem to get out from under all these stones you've tied to my chest. And I can't change your mind. I can't change your mind. And what's so funny is I'm scared and lonely, and I don't think I'm the only one as I watch you drive away. What's so funny is the birds are singing, sun is shining, the bells are ringing, and I'm thinking, what happened here? And I can't change your mind, and I can't change your mind, and I can't change your mind. And I can't change your mind. There's a chapel in Minneapolis, holds the bones of a dead saint in it, and the stained glass glows from the ceiling there. It reminds me of the feeling where I first looked into your eyes, saw the most beautiful birds fly straight into the sun with their wings on fire, and the deed was done. Oh, and I can't change your mind, and I can't change your mind. What's so funny is this piece of skin, the one there on my arm with your name inked in. What was I thinking? What's so funny is the way things go down. Like when a star dies, it doesn't make a sound. It's just gone, you can't find it when you look into the sky. And I can't change your mind, and I can't change your mind, and I can't change your mind.
mind. I can't change your mind. I can't change your mind. I can't do it. And there's a werewolf out on my front lawn, and he's looking pissed off, and he's wet from all this rain. I think I'll go say hi and offer him a beer.
Okay. And don't take that sweet booty.
No, I see what you did there when you're talking about you like to put something in your song. So we're not like almost crying, then there's a werewolf and a beer. And I'm like, oh, there we go. I'm good.
Yeah, yeah.
Thanks it's for bringing me back.
Right, yeah. Right. It's kind of like, yeah.
Yeah, I think shit got serious.
It did. It did.
Yeah, but well, that's such, so this is going to, this is what I want to say. This is so personal to so many people. I don't know how you hit that.
Well, I mean, I couldn't have written that song if I wouldn't have gotten a divorce. Going through a divorce was right. That was the biggest failure of my life, and
it fucking sucks.
It sucks, and
sucks
it was
so bad.
It was horrible, and I couldn't have, and then I got to write that song because I went through this horrible thing. But yeah, I mean, I try to keep it general. You know, I try to keep the stuff pretty general and not
super personal.
Not super specific.
But everybody's been in a place where they've been like, right. Fuck, I can't change your mind.
Sure.
Yeah, this sucks and she feels this way and I'm not going to change your mind.
Right. And it's weird because I kind of thought I wasn't sure if I'd written that song about, you know, getting the divorce or the relationship I was in right after the divorce.
Mm-hmm. Right, right.
And then I made a video with my friend and one of my oldest, closest friends who, like, I quit drinking about 19 years ago next month. And he was my drinking buddy, mm-hmm. and he didn't quit drinking. And he kind of went down just the path I would have probably gone down, which is pretty, you know, you see him, he looks like a homeless guy now. And so when I wrote the song a couple years ago, I did a video with him just in starring in the video. And I realized after I made the video, I was like, oh, this song's just as much about my relationship with him.
Yeah.
Sure.
Trying to get him to quit drinking or, you know, and my friendship with him that pretty much dissolved.
Yeah.
Right.
Because of it. So it's, you know, yeah, it's definitely frustrating when you know, have somebody that you really care about, mm-hmm. and you're going to lose them for whatever reason.
Right.
You know, that is pretty universal, mm-hmm. and there's nothing you can do about it. And it's awful. So.
All right. We have to think of another song to do so we can not all run out into traffic.
No, I feel good.
How about
you want me to do a new song? I got a new song.
Yes, you got a new song?
This is hopefully it'll break the thing.
Okay.
Elvis Presley, real good singer, big bushy sideburns, he was a rock god ringer, like cheeseburger, peanut butter, he wore the rhinestones. Became a deputy, carried a gun, learned karate. He never made love to a pregnant lady. He never made love to a pregnant lady. Even if she wasn't pregnant, he had some mental problems, mental problems, mental problems. He had some mental problems. Daryl Hannah, real pretty lady, big movie star. Back in the 80s, she starred in Splash. She always dated trash. She gave it all away.
spent most of cash. Cursed the alley, too much nacho cheese. Winona Ryder, bitch please. Mental problems, mental problems, mental problems. That's a mental problem. Now my girl's got 'em, I got 'em too. But she's so pretty, what you gonna do? And the world's so crazy, mostly lies. How you gonna do it? How you gonna get by? Don't think harder, do it, make you crazy, go through it, feel bad, hurt brain, make you go insane, it'll make you go insane, make you go insane, make you go insane! That's the end of that.
Now, how long did it take you to write that? Like 20 minutes?
It sounds like I just wrote it while I was doing it right now. That probably took me 4 or 5 hours to write that song.
That's something else.
Is that pregnant part true?
Yeah.
Yeah. After Priscilla got pregnant, he never had sex with her again. Supposedly,
right. After she had the baby.
Ever again.
Like she was pregnant, and that was over.
I think that's the story.
I think that's
right?
The story.
Yeah.
He had a thing. He did not. Well, you know, there's a story about he was very close to his mother. I don't want to say unnaturally so, but maybe. I don't know. Who's to say what's natural and normal?
Are you being serious?
Yeah.
Why don't I know any of this?
I did do some research on Daryl Hannah after I put her in the song because I was like, does she really belong in this song?
Right.
And
I wouldn't have thought so.
I researched it online, you know, like Wikipedia and Google search.
She had some goofy...
I don't think she belongs in the song, actually.
Really?
But
she's
then
okay.
I was like, she's already in there, so what's the worst thing that could happen? She gets
angry.
Who did
she date that was terrible?
I feel like she did date some guys that were horrible.
So crazy.
Like, none of the relationships worked out, so...
Is her name really Hannah Darrell?
Oh, is it really?
I always assume that they just flipped it because it sounds more...
I think that's somebody's joke, isn't it? No, is it really? Okay, we need to get to the bottom of this.
No, but doesn't it sound like something like her name?
Hannah Darrell.
Hannah
sure.
Darrell, and you're like, that's not going to stand out. Let's go with Daryl Hannah. We're going to
Daryl Hannah. It's sounds
that's awesome.
Right.
That's great.
Daryl Hannah now sounds right. Sure.
I loved Splash.
That was a good movie.
Yeah.
Oh,
Splash. Well, and Blade Runner. Forget about
it. Oh, Blade Runner.
Yeah,
oh,
yeah, yeah.
Sean,
oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Sean Young should be in that song. There you go.
Sean Young was amazing in Blade Runner.
Oh, yeah.
That bitch cray.
Cry, cry.
She
Sean
is.
Young. Yeah, I feel like Sean Young way more than Daryl Hannah.
The whole James Woods, Sean Young threatened to kill him or something.
Something like that. And then she yelled out at the Golden Globes or at the SAGs a couple years ago. Started, kind of lost her shit all over again.
Yeah.
It's not good.
She's the one in the Jim Carrey movie, right?
She was great. Pet Detective?
Yeah.
Pet Detective,
so good. Yeah.
Right? Yeah.
I feel like she's really good at like...
Mr. Ventura.
Sean Young's really good at like not showing any emotion. Like that's her best, her forte.
Yeah.
I'm like, I do this Sean Young joke where I'm like, Sean Young School of Acting, where I'm like, tell me to do an emotion. You go, anger, and you just go, sadness.
Just stare.
And you just do it. Yeah.
Yeah, she kind of had like that Botox face before Botox was popular.
Right.
Kind of. Yeah. Like that zero.
The frozen.
She, yeah.
Huh. Yeah, all Sean right. Young. I would go Sean Young. What's that other Daryl Hannah? Roxanne.
So good. Yeah.
Kill Bill. She
love
plays
that.
The nurse with her eye patch.
Right. Oh, yeah.
And I saw her in some horrible movie. I can't remember the name of it. But
mm-hmm. We might have to switch out that lyric with Sean Young. I feel like we're talking you out of it.
Daryl Hannah's musical, I think.
Daryl. Yeah, yeah.
Just
Daryl.
That name is
Sean there's Young. Something about it like that just kind of works, like because it kind of comes out of the blue and it's like what Daryl Hannah.
Yeah, because when you said I was like, man, did I miss a Daryl Hannah story? Is she crazy?
She's not really.
She's
crazy.
Not.
No.
Oh, that's good. Yeah, okay. That's
but
good.
You know, sometimes it's good to
put it out there, see what happens.
I mean, I put Jesus Christ in a lot of songs where he's doing stuff that he probably wouldn't do.
Yeah, what was that about? You didn't want to play God as My Friend this morning. You just don't play it anymore?
Well, because it's got that cocaine and the original lyric was...
No chickpea nuts, so probably no cocaine.
Yeah, it just... I don't think the song works. I don't play that song that much anymore.
Really?
Well, because There's the line, I can see God with a great big dick and some good cocaine is one of the lines in the song. And it really...
I thought it was grin.
Well, on the record, it's grin. But in, I changed it to grin because they told me... I was making the record for Universal Records at the time, and they said that if you put...
God and dick in the same sentence.
Saying that God has a big dick, Walmart is real religious and won't carry the record. And
but wouldn't you think that God would have the biggest dick?
God would have, like, a big dick if he were, yeah.
Here's all I know. If somebody writes a song about me and they're talking about my big dick, I'm like, I like that song.
I'll be a fan.
Yeah.
I want that song.
High five from
the
sky.
That's where I look at it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I understand.
The thing I realized was, like, this is really offensive to people who are deeply religious. Yeah. And the last thing I want to do is, like, I don't want to, again, like, the same reason I probably won't ever play that other song is because I just, it's not worth it. I like the song. I love the song.
Right.
And
it's,
does that and happen it, a lot with
deeply
your songs?
Personal. No.
Or if I just hit all the hot buttons?
No, but I try not to ever write any mean songs. And that's
not mean, well, but that it's song just was very, personal, you said.
Well, it was very personal to me because when I was growing up, I was deeply religious as a child.
Mm-hmm.
And the story was we had this encyclopedia salesman came and sold us this encyclopedia set when I was a kid. And part of that was we got this giant Bible that had its own stand.
Mm-hmm.
And inside were all the paintings from the Sistine Chapel that Michelangelo had done. One of them is that famous painting of God
with the finger,
touching
David.
And
which I thought was from E.T. for the longest time.
Right. And in the picture,
I know
Adam is naked.
Yeah.
But God's, like, wearing flowing robes.
Right.
And I was like, oh, that's weird that God would be.
How come?
Wearing flowing robes. You know, why? Mm. Why is God wearing flowing robes?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just begged a lot of questions, like, what's underneath the robes? And did he just get out of the shower? Is there a shower in heaven?
Right.
Why is he, you know, who else is there besides God?
Who's he Isn't covering it just, himself up from? Yeah.
It's just God, right?
Uh-huh. When I'm walking around the house out of the shower, I'm walking around the house out of the shower.
Right. Yeah. When I'm alone, I don't care about being naked. Mm-hmm. I mean, I might put on a robe, though, if I just got out of the shower because it's, you know.
It's comfy.
It's cold.
Yeah.
Right.
It might be drafty in heaven.
Drafty.
I don't know what's going on there. So as I got older, all of these questions about heaven and especially hell, which didn't make any sense to me at all, disallowed me from believing in God and all religion, really. It just kind of drove me away from it. And then for years, I was kind of godless. And then when I got sober, I had to find some sort of
higher power.
I had to get back to God somehow. And so the idea was... Well, maybe I can just believe in God, like the God that's in that book, like the God with the robe that probably has something underneath the robe, maybe a cock underneath there. And if he's got a cock, it's probably a big cock. And if not, why take chances and just say it's a big dick in the
be thing. Complimentary when in
and hell. Then it was like, well, what else do you do in heaven if you get to heaven? Well, drugs, I guess, because drugs are great, you know, and there's no consequences, maybe.
And a Coors Light.
Right. So that led to the whole, like, and then the idea was, well, maybe I can believe in a God that's not super judgmental, that's going to, like, super judge me, depending, because I don't know what I'm doing, and I make mistakes, and I'm human, and I might not ask for forgiveness at the exact moment before I get hit by a car and die, before I've, you know, I have a few sins on my plate.
Right.
Am I going to go to hell for that forever? No, I don't think so. I think God would be like, you know what? You had a few sins on your plate. You're fine.
You're good. Yeah.
You could, in fact, you can just ask for forgiveness right now if you want.
Yeah.
And I'll let you go.
We'll be square.
We'll be good to go. And so it just changed my whole out thinking about God. And then I wrote this song called God is My Friend, which is way more comforting to me and deeply personal and it's about my connection with God and my spirituality. But now I realize, wow, this really hurts people's feelings and really maybe challenges their beliefs in a way that they don't want to deal with, which I'm totally fine with. And so I try to be conscious of it and not.
Don't you feel like that already makes you, cause I don't know. Do you call yourself a Christian? Would you consider yourself a Christian or just a believer in a God?
Well, I mean, I would say absolutely I'm not a Christian.
Not a Christian.
But the truth of the matter is I was raised a Christian, mm-hmm. and I was brought up Catholic, and deeply my worldview is that of a Catholic. And when I think of God, I think of this fatherly figure that lives right. in the sky, and mm-hmm. I think of Jesus as his son. And so I can't ever shed my yeah. Christian world outlook
right.
and my spiritual belief system. It'll mm-hmm. always be there. Like if I try to believe in Buddha or yeah. Hinduism or another religion, it just doesn't fit into
it's not
my,
your base.
It's not yeah. in my brain. It's yeah. not my in my wiring. So, yeah.
But it's funny that you say that even that you're more conscious of like another you know, believer in God, and that you would be willing to go, you know what, this is how I believe, but I'm not going to push this. That already makes you, even though you don't consider yourself a Christian, a better Christian than most Christians.
Well, again,
that sounds bad, and I'm not saying, like, I know that sounds bad for me to say that makes you better than somebody.
Well, there's another meaning for there's the word another, Christian, too. I mean,
yeah, well, but I just mean that so often, I guess the extremist is the stereotype, and it's kind of with Christians that it's not always a good thing.
Well, I'm kind of like, this is what I think. I think if you're a Christian and you believe in the Bible and Christianity, that's great. And if you're whatever you are, whatever you want to believe in, it's all fine. God is what God is.
Mm-hmm.
And things are the way they are. We're just, you know, and whether it's, you know, what it doesn't matter. It 'cause what I believe about God is not going to change what God is. God is what God is.
Right.
And my beliefs aren't going to change that, and neither mm-hmm. is somebody else's. So why do I need to challenge somebody's beliefs? Because right. I don't know anything.
Right.
So I can't say one way or the other. I just have, you know, I have this deep belief that there's a God that cares about me and loves me, and that's all that matters to me.
You know, when I hear about people who have had trouble with a struggle with their religion and their belief in God, but it almost always stems from God persecuting and smiting and
that's
smoting.
That's how. That's what I grew up with. It was a punishing God.
Yeah. Sure.
Like we had, like we grew up with a punishing God. Like go to church and you are on your knees praying for hours,
hours and hours. Sure. And I just don't, I never understood there would be something not correct or unreasonable about a person who would think or would believe in someone that, well, the mm-hmm. only way they can show me is love is if they punish mm-hmm. the hell out of me, and then I'm so glad I'm not being punished anymore.
Sure.
It's like the Vince Lombardi God.
Well, that's, that definitely reeks of, that has the aroma of somebody in power wanting people mm-hmm. to do what they had an agenda. Somebody had an agenda saying, well, we want this group of people to do what we want them to do, so we're mm-hmm. going to say that this is what you should do, and then if you don't do it, you're going to be punished.
It was almost a form of abuse, I think, right?
Well, absolutely. I think it was just, it was a way to control people
right.
to get them to do what you want them to do. But
it's also making them look over here because you're doing lots of bad shit over here, you know?
Yeah. Well, yeah. I mean, the history is sketchy.
History's shown us that's absolutely the truth.
Yeah. In my personal situation, I'm not saying in everyone's, but like you saying that base, and I really want to think he's a good guy, but it's just like in my brain he's still waiting for me to fuck up so that he can punish me.
I will say this, like I always had a really hard time with sort of this punishing psychotic sort of God who's going to, like, you're here for just a split second of mm-hmm. time with really no idea what you're doing here, and then you're given some made up sort of instructions and stuff. And, or here's a book that was written mm-hmm. that's the word of God or whatever. But, you know, you have your doubts and your whatever. And then all of a sudden, based on this moment in time, you're going to spend an eternity. Like, I was like, that's crazy. That's mm-hmm. like a psychotic, weird God. But then I heard about the Mormons. And I guess if you're like one of the top tier Mormons, when you die, you get your own world.
Yeah.
That you can, that you're the God of. And I was like, wow, that sounds cool.
But
and like, what would I do if I was the God mm-hmm. of the world? And I realized I would like, well, I would definitely like have sex with all the hottest women. First sure. of all, that's hey. What I would do. First of all. And then if anybody, and then I would kill like all the murderers and rapists and stuff.
Yeah.
I'd just, you have no place in my world. So kill them. But then after a while, I'd be like, you know, I'd just get used to just having sex with whoever I wanted to, and like whether they wanted to have sex with me or not. You know, I'm just like, well.
But then,
and then I would just turn into a rapist and murderer myself. And then if anybody did anything, like I'd be like Joffrey on Game of Thrones. Like if anybody did anything that even slightly upset me, I'd be like, oh, fuck you. You're dead, motherfucker. And then like everybody around me would just be scared to death. All the women would be like, oh, God, he's going to rape me at any second, you know. And I would be a horrible, horrible, psychotic, weird, crazy person. I was like, well, God has all the power.
And maybe so
maybe that's true.
Yeah.
And I was like, I don't even want to think about that.
That Mormon thing, you just made me think of like you get your own world. Maybe that's what Minecraft is based off of.
Oh my God.
Like you get
Do you think it's a Mormon thing?
Maybe it is. You know what? It's all going to break. Like it's all going to come out. After this podcast,
you're going to lose like 20,000 podcast members after this. Yep. You're going to come back
next week and sitting around
unsubscribed thousands.
Nice conversation.
Yeah.
Thank you, Bob.
Sorry. Sorry about that.
Okay, this you know, almost every week if we're lucky, we get done and we go, that was my favorite podcast, and this is our 107th podcast.
107th.
Wow, congratulations. Thanks. That's awesome.
Thank you. And this has got to be my favorite podcast we've ever done.
Yeah, this is good.
Well, it was fun for me.
Thank you, Bob.
Very easy.
Go see you tonight. And tomorrow night, if you're listening to this anytime relatively while we're releasing it, Thursday the 24th, you're in Louisville. And then Friday the 25th, you're in Nashville. And then after that, I lose track.
Atlanta. Saturday.
Can you do me a little, like I know we don't know each other that well, but can you do me some, like a really small favor?
Sure.
Can you try to hook up with Courtney J at some point and do something with her?
Who's Courtney J?
She is such a great singer.
She's a singer. She has her own albums out in Nashville.
She's smoking hot. I know you got a girlfriend, but she's fun to look at, and she's a really good singer.
Are you familiar with Stephen Lynch?
No.
He does kind of a comedy, fun songs, but Courtney sings backup with him. But she does her own deal too.
She's got an album out, and
she's in Nashville.
And she's in Nashville.
So hook up with her.
Is she in Nashville for sure?
On Friday.
Yeah. I'm gonna see if she's in. She might be in L.A. Actually, I think she's in L.A.
right now.
Yeah. Just like visiting. I don't know if she's
there. We keep track of her on Instagram. We should have Courtney just on the show.
We should have Courtney.
Yeah, tell Stephen to just go. Bob, thank you. I'll see you tonight. It's gonna be a great show.
Thank you.
BobSchneider.com, and it's been my favorite podcast we've done.
Let's do this.
That's right. And here he is again. Thank you, Jazz. Bob Schneider, like I said, BobSchneider.com. Thank you for downloading the podcast. Tell your friends. Say hello to Tito's Vodka. More information coming later. Go out and have a nice day. I'll see you at the show tonight at the Rascal.
Good night, everybody. Getting crunk, bling, bling. I got some love for you. Ass moving so fast, can't think. Big buzz bouncing up on the sink. I wish you was here, but I can't be sure. The night's all black, everything's blurred. Got my jacket on, smoking, looking like juice, honey on the table. I'm a shit, so I'm saying. Ain't got no dough.